the resurrection of the damned. But a couple of things were brought up to me last week that I felt the Lord put on my heart. You know, chase those. Kevin brought up something about Leviticus, the first fruits, and Gayla brought up something about the army. So I want to try to get to them today. I don't know if we'll get to the resurrection of the damned. But I did want to chase these two things because remember last week we were studying the first fruits. And the first fruits were people receiving the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But Jesus Christ was the first fruit of the resurrection. Mm-hmm. So I want to chase this a little bit. And I know we've done it before, but I just feel the Lord put it on my heart to just chase this again when we studied the feast. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at the first fruits in Revelation. You don't have to turn there. You're going to turn to... go ahead. Revelation 14. We'll just take our time and go through this. So you can see Revelation 14, 4. And like I said, we were chasing this last week, and this led to the giving of the Holy Spirit. But Christ was the first fruits of the resurrection. 14, 4. Nancy, you wanted to read that?
These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb.
So you can see they were, past tense, redeemed. Not going to be redeemed. They already were redeemed, and they already were given the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And then, you know, we're just backtracking a little here. Romans 8, 23 tells us, Doug, you want to read that? Romans 8, 23.
Okay, everybody there? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
So there you go. You can see that the first fruits is the giving of the Holy Spirit to the believer, right? And then when turn to 1 Corinthians 15.
Missed the address on Romans.
Romans 8:23, and obviously that was Revelation 14:4. Mm-hmm. So you can see the first fruits are the giving of the Holy Spirit to the saved. And then 1 Corinthians 15, John, you want to get it? 15, 20 to 23. First Corinthians 15, 20 to 23.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
So this was a good study, I thought, last week, where you could see Christ is the firstfruits. Mm-hmm. But, like, and I said it wrong last week, it's not that Christ didn't need the Holy Spirit. He already had the Holy Spirit. Right. So his firstfruit is the resurrection. Mm-hmm. And he's comparing that firstfruit to our firstfruit, because 1 Corinthians is not only about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's about the resurrection of the saints, too.
Right.
So receiving the first fruits of the Spirit was Christ being the first fruit of what? Giving the Spirit? No, of the resurrection. So this is what I kind of wanted to chase, through the law. And we've studied this before. Turn to Exodus 34. Gayla, you want to read?
Sure.
21, Exodus 34, where am I? 21 to 26.
6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest. In earing time and in harvest thou shalt rest. And thou shalt observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Thrice in the year shall all your men children appear before the Lord God, the God of Israel, for I will cast off the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land, which thou shalt go up to appear before the Lord thy God thrice in the year. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left unto the morning.
Okay, okay. Go ahead and read the next one.
The first of the firstfruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk.
So there's a lot of meat going on here. Typology here, 6 days thou shalt work, right? So we're going to rest on the Sabbath. The seventh is a Sabbath. Remember last week, hearing time, we saw in, I think it was Mark, that the blade came, then mm-hmm. the corn, then the full earring, the yeah. corn, and that's then he called that the harvest. And what did Jesus say? The harvest is the end of the world. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think this is a coincidence. In verse 22, he says, observe the Feast of Weeks. That's Pentecost, right? That's mm-hmm. when the Spirit was given. And the wheat harvest and the Feast of Ingathering. So I'm not changing the Bible, but I just want to show you something. At the end of the world. Right, so the year's end is the end of the world when he gathers everything together unto him. But look at the next verse. He defeats the enemies on that time. Mm-hmm. So I will cast out the nations before thee. So there's typology going on here. And you can see that this represents the time period. And then when you look at verse 26, Jesus in 1 Corinthians says he is the first fruits of the resurrection. And the first of the first fruits thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord. So when Jesus Christ died, rose again, went down to Abraham, went down into hell and led captivity captive, where did he go? He went into the Lord's house, right? So this is Christ being resurrected and going into the Lord. Turn to Leviticus 23.
Just a quick question. What do you think the seething the kid in the mother?
I have no idea what that means. Now, I'll say this.
Seething is boiling. Some
boiling in its milk.
Boiling in its mother's milk.
Boiling.
But so there's, you wouldn't take a baby goat and boil it in its mother's milk.
But there's more to it than that. There's got to be more to it because he.
Quite a phrase at
that. Yeah, he just throws that in there with eschatology and law keeping. There is something. I've studied it. I don't know what it means, but I know this. It means more than just boiling a kid in its milk.
Right. No, I think what it means is a lamb that is weaned. It's still not dependent on its mother's milk.
So you think seething isn't boiling? It's nursing.
It's still in its mother's milk. I think it's just shall not see it a kid in its.
See,
I just think you don't want. You're not going to take a lamb that's still suckling.
Mm-hmm.
And use it. It has to be weaned.
Hmm. I've never thought about that. Seething mean? Yeah, I thought that's, seething meant boiling.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
You know,
I think it's more like seeketh than.
Oh, so what King James isn't what the King James says? It's
different. Wait a minute. I think there's a confusion here. It doesn't say seeing.
It says seething. And seething's a real word.
Right, but
what does it mean?
Spelling or
I think we need to know what seeding means.
Yeah, but I just that's what I
yeah
just
yeah. And there's nothing wrong with thinking mean, that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I have no idea what it means.
A fawn as it's nursing.
Inflated.
Yep, go ahead.
It says to boil, to seethe, to swell, to be inflated, to decot. I don't know what that means. Or prepare for food in hot liquor. As to seethe flesh. And then it says, thou shalt not see the kid in its mother's milk, to be in a state of ebullition, to be hot. This word is rarely used in common concerns of life.
I still don't know what it means.
Yeah.
There's three more words we don't know what it means.
I don't know, Kevin. But I'll say this. It is interesting because it's not the only place it's mentioned.
Yeah.
About not seething. There's a reason more to it than just whatever, boiling a kid in its milk. There's something yes. deeper going
there's
on there.
There's going to be a moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
When
yes.
Christ, that we're
going to
say, oh!
Yeah,
that's
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh! For sure, you know,
I'm so stupid.
I mean, something.
Of course.
Of course. In that, I still wouldn't boil a child in his mother's milk. You know, I just
yeah.
wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You
right.
know?
Right.
But don't you think there's a deeper meaning to
oh, yeah,
what's going
always,
on here?
Yes,
right?
Yeah.
It's something spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a deeper meaning.
The Merriam-Webster dictionary says to suffer violent internal excitement, to be in a state of rapid agitated movement.
I still don't know what it means.
And is that the 18?
Yes.
28 dictionary?
No, that's Noah Webster's 1828.
Right.
Merriam-Webster is modern.
Modern. That's
modern,
the modern
translation. So.
They also use that word for temper. Yeah.
Seething.
Seething.
Ah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, the boiling pots that they boiled the meat in during the sacrifice, right? That they boiled that the priests were allowed to get some meat out of. That was a seething pot.
Mm-hmm. You had to bring it up.
I know you think of
it. There's always somebody that's
got
to
go
there. It's a good question.
I remember reading it, and I'm going to hope somebody might help me. Okay, so Leviticus 23, we'll see this again, 23:5, right? I love this stuff because this is Christ. The feasts are Jesus Christ. He fulfills them all.
Right.
Right? I just love it. So I'm going to read this 23, and we'll comment as we go through it, as long as Kevin doesn't say anything.
You know, there's, I don't know exactly where they get it, but the Jews don't mix dairy products with
yes.
meat.
Absolutely.
Oh,
that's
right.
They are prepared in different rooms.
Yeah,
sure. When they cook, they don't even have the meat and the
okay.
milk in the same area.
Really?
Yeah.
So we're just going to hang on this, right?
We're
just going to run with the whole seething
thing. One more thought. You wonder if milk might have been more accessible than water
right?
for some of them.
Yeah.
Milk,
yeah.
you know, because they had their goats. So that it's like, no, don't.
Yeah.
don't do
yeah,
that.
Right.
Interesting.
2 Kings 4:38, set on the great pot and seed pottage for the sons of the prophets. So it sounds like boiling. Or
yeah.
Kind of a slow boil, isn't it? Though?
Yeah, it's a simmering.
It's so, directly quoted in 19 of the new chapter. You're going to Exodus 23:19. Same.
Leviticus
exact,
20.
Oh.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
But it's Exodus 23:19. It's the same verse.
Mm-hmm.
For maybe.
Yeah, why? Why does he say?
If it's a contrast between the first fruits offering and, the word, and then the meat, like it's exactly the same
right.
contrast.
Yeah.
He's not giving you any more information.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, are we done with the whole seething thing?
Absolutely.
You know what? Like you just said, I think what God just did is he's opened up our
think
mind
about it.
To it.
Yeah. Now, yeah. how many of you are going to go home this week and actually look into that? You know? And you'll be surprised what we'll hear next week because of the question that
yeah.
came up this week.
Yeah.
It'll lead you somewhere else.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. It will.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
So this is seething on the inside of your spirits even now.
Just not in the milk.
No, not in the milk.
Okay, so Leviticus 23:5. On the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. So Jesus Christ was crucified on Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread. Unto the Lord 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. So Jesus Christ crucified, Passover, he's in the grave on unleavened bread. So 7, the first day ye shall have a holy convocation, and ye shall do no servile work, but ye shall make an offering by fire. By fire unto the Lord 7 days is an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work. So he's crucified on Passover, he's in the grave on unleavened bread, he does no servile work on the Sabbath, and he honors the Sabbath, right? He does nothing. He just rests on the Sabbath. Verse 9, and the Lord spake unto Moses, say, speak unto the children of Israel, say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give unto you, and ye shall reap the harvest, therefore ye shall bring a sheaf. A sheaf. of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. So this is Christ. This is not Pentecost. This is Christ. And look what it says. And you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for Kevin, right? And on the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So what's the morrow after the Sabbath? Sunday, resurrection. And he's waved to the Lord. He is our wave offering to the Lord for forgiveness of our sins. Yeah. A beautiful picture here. And verse 12, right? And you shall offer that day when you eat the sheaf of the lamb without blemish, that's Christ, of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the meat offering, so let's just skip down to 15. So now here's Pentecost. And ye shall count unto you on the morrow after the Sabbath from the day ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you shall number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2, Jew and Gentile, right? 2 loaves of 2 tenths deals, and ye shall be fine flour, and they shall be baken with leaven. And they are which are the first fruits unto the Lord. So here you go. Here's the offering, the same offering to the Jews, to the Gentiles, with leaven. That's us, yeah. Our sinful state, right? With level, and it's being waved. And he called that the first fruits. Well, this happened. Turn to Acts. So this is Pentecost, right? So if you turn to Acts chapter, let's start with 1. So all these things are being fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So I no longer have to keep the law. I keep Jesus Christ, who is the law, so I actually am keeping the law. This is how the soul is perfect, but the flesh is sinful, right? And they're at war with each other. But my soul is perfect because it keeps Jesus Christ, who kept the law. Okay, let's look at 1, 4 through 8. So here's the promise, Acts 1, 4 through 8. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when therefore they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Power is the Holy Spirit. But you shall receive power. After the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and to all Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So you can see he's saying, you can't understand these things right now about eschatology, right? Until you receive. So now we have received the power. Now we can understand eschatology because in 1 Thessalonians, I think 5, he says, of the times and seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. So by the time you get to 1 Thessalonians, he's assuming that you understand these things. Why? Because you receive from the power on high. Okay, 15 to 21. Am I right there? No, Acts chapter 2. Dave, you want to read 1 through 4?
Of 2?
2, 1 through 4.
And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
So you can see Pentecost had fully come. All the other Pentecosts leading up to these were just typologies of the Pentecost that was to fully come. So when it fully came, It came on a multitude of people. It was visible, tongues of fire, right? They heard the wind. Mm-hmm. Don't forget how all this started with the 144,000. God said to the four winds, right, don't blow on the earth, don't destroy anything until our servants are sealed. Well, here you're seeing a mighty rushing wind, and you're seeing it that displayed with cloven tongues by fire. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of fire, and they spoke with other tongues. So he just said earlier that you're going to go out into all the world. So the next few verses here, he's mentioning 17 other nations mm-hmm. that are now going to be invited. That's not the start of the church age. The Acts is wrong. They're lying when they say, well, Acts was the start of the church age. No, it's not. It's when the Gentiles were invited into the kingdom of God. And they spake in other tongues.
It's when the grafting began.
That's right.
If you've ever grafted a tree or anything, you know you've got to prepare both the tree and the shoot that you're going to graft.
That's right.
And Pentecost, this time
this
of year,
it.
Jesus came and he prepared the stalk, the main part. And then he starts grafting in.
That's right.
The unbelieving Jews that would not believe, he pulled
them
out.
That's right.
And in that spot, he placed believers in.
That's right. See, he saves. This is not replacement theology. The same Jews are still the same Jews.
Yes.
He's still saving some of them. And the same Gentiles have now been grafted into God's kingdom. Well, that doesn't mean that they weren't grafted in before.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
They were always invited.
Abraham was grafted.
Right?
He wasn't a Jew.
And the Jewish nation was supposed to be a witness of God to the mm-hmm. Gentile world. Well, they didn't do their part, but God still brought, like you said, the lineage of Jesus Christ is filled with female Gentiles. Right?
Yeah.
So they were always part of the plan, but now as a multitude, the early rain was poured out on a multitude of people, and you saw these miracles start to take place where the Gentiles were now invited into the kingdom. But it was witnessed by the signs and wonders and miracles.
Right. And I really believe that the need for miracles in that time was because the written word of God had not been done.
Right.
All right, the Bibles have not been gathered. We have the scripture, right? This King James
that's
Bible.
That's a good point.
And,
when that which is perfect is
which
perfect.
Right.
Perfect.
Yeah,
is
and
perfect
the Jews seek after a sign. Gentiles,
yep.
The wisdom. The Greek after wisdom.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yep.
The Gentile church was really brought in, though, when Saul. Well, you got hit in the road.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
After that.
Yes.
Yep. But here's my point. For Paul to, these people were being prepared. Don't forget, this group of people, they came from other parts of the world to Jerusalem for Pentecost, Passover, Pentecost.
Yeah.
So they were actually Judaizers, right?
Yes.
So they were coming for that reason, but God flipped it and turned the Holy Spirit on them. So now they have to go back into their countries.
Right.
There are now a witness for Jesus Christ. So like when Kevin said, when Paul came through, they had already gotten some seed fed to them, right? To the Gentile world.
So these folks that were there out of these 17 nations, the folks who came from Mesopotamia, went back to Mesopotamia with this identification.
With the Holy Spirit in them.
With the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
That they know that there is a man who professed to be God, did many miracles, died on a cross, and rose on the third day.
Yeah.
All of that was in them. The gospel was in them. They went to their heathen worlds that they came from that didn't know about God.
Absolutely.
And they professed Christ. And the Holy Spirit already at work in Mesopotamia and all those other 16 nations.
So when Paul starts making his journeys, don't forget, Paul goes into Jewish synagogues first.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he's basically telling them, what you're doing, it's over.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, these things are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And some of them received it. Some of them said, let's kill him.
Yeah.
And when they would throw him out or when he would move out, then he would go into the streets and he would preach to the Gentiles who had already heard. Some of them had already heard.
Well,
it was breaking forth.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Massively.
Yeah, massively.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the early rain, and it was done by signs and wonders. Well, we're going to see in Joel, the comparative verses here, there's going to be a latter rain.
Right.
Which we're preparing for.
And
Go ahead.
The message went out, wasn't it? Was it Cornelius that, I can't remember, Paul went to somebody and they were believing, they were worshiping,
right.
But they were never baptized.
Yeah,
Peter.
Yes.
Peter.
Yeah.
Peter, well, Peter did Cornelius.
Yeah.
Paul met some men at a river because they went on a date to worship God.
Yeah.
And he said, you believe in Christ? Yes, we heard of Christ. How
yes.
about the Holy Spirit? I don't know if there is a Holy
yeah.
Spirit. He told them about the power of the Holy Ghost. They accepted Jesus. They were baptized.
That's
and
right.
they all spoke in tongues.
So
one of the three times
yeah.
it's mentioned that people spoke in tongues.
Yeah.
All right. At the beginning, Cornelius' house, and there at the riverbank.
And what is the purpose for speaking in tongues? It's
for
not so you could have some
yeah.
freak show during your Sunday service.
Right.
The whole
right.
purpose
yeah.
for speaking in tongues is, you know, Jim's an Italian, and I'm a Greek, and I'm going over to Jim, and I'm talking to him in Greek, and he's hearing me in Italian,
yeah.
to, right, right, to hear
right.
the gospel, or something like that.
Yeah.
But it was to reach the unlost, and
right.
even for
right.
1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians says, tongues is for the lost.
Right.
It's not for the saved.
It's also for a sign.
It's a
those
sign.
Those people were impressed
yes.
that they are
yes.
in their own life.
That's right.
Right.
Yep.
If
well,
you think about the world that the gospel was being spread to,
yes.
we can lose our worldview is very different from
yeah.
what these people were experiencing. They were experiencing just hardness.
Yes.
Just,
that's right.
A hard society, a hard, you know, realities and treatment in society.
Absolutely.
So this message was just alien.
But you could see
excluded
that.
Excluded from all of the synagogues. Well, you're a Gentile. You can't
yeah.
have it.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's
yeah.
a Christ that came and died for the Gentile
yeah.
as much as for the Jew. You're welcome in. When was the first time that you felt welcome? How good was that when you...
Yeah.
You know, wow, I've been excommunicated from every other group.
You preach River.
And I
yeah.
felt that. I felt that profoundly. And the song that says, and the soul felt its worth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the soul felt
yeah.
its worth.
Yeah.
It's the first time that some of these people felt like they had any
yeah.
value at
yes.
all.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
They were nothing in society.
Remarkable.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
They were the dregs. Nobody wanted them. The lepers, you're done with. You're no better than a dog.
Yeah.
But yet the love of Christ reaches
yeah.
down into their soul.
Yeah.
It is. And isn't it your soul that rejoices?
Yeah. yeah.
It really is.
Absolutely.
And you know, like Curtis has been saying, you can be perfect. You can be holy inside.
Right.
My flesh is flesh. They're at war with my soul. My soul absolutely loves Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Never wants to sin again. I want to walk righteously. My flesh says, I don't like that.
You're right.
And we're going to fight until you die.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So 17. No, look at 14 here. So, so once again, these feasts, they were just not fulfilled. They weren't fully fulfilled. They were typology. They were partially payments. The actual fulfillment is Christ and the Holy Spirit being given. So let's look at 14. Then Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken, hear, and listen, and obey. Hearken
mm-hmm.
unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing is 9 o'clock in the morning, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come in the last days. So when did the last days start?
In the last days.
The last days started at Pentecost.
Yeah.
We are in the last days until the Christ's first coming and Christ's second coming are the last days.
Mm-hmm.
God will pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So that happened, right? But did this happen? And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that didn't happen yet.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly he's talking about the second coming, but yet we see the first coming being fulfilled here too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just like Jesus when he was reading part of Isaiah.
Of Isaiah, he cuts it off.
Closes the book.
At the day of vengeance. Today, he says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.
Right.
And he didn't complete the day of vengeance.
Yeah.
Just, okay, so turn to Joel.
That it's in two parts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
amen.
It's right. This, yeah. It's right. We are in the last days. I didn't learn that until this group.
Yeah.
I had never had an understanding of it. But clearly, even in Matthew, where he says, in these last days, has he spoken to us by his son. We've been in these last days. In the first insight, to me, Gayla blessed me. I don't see gaps.
Right.
I don't see gaps. Mm-hmm. I see a continual prophecy being fulfilled from Genesis to Revelation. And we are in those days, and we are to watch for things that are about to take place. I say that because we're told that there's gaps in the Bible. You know, we're in this church age, this age of grace, that, you know, God has put aside the Jews. No, he hasn't. He's still saving Jewish people to this day.
Can I say something that the Lord showed me a little earlier? It's from Acts 1:8. I'd like you to go there. So you can see.
Yeah.
As I was reading through this, I was at a verse that sometimes stumped me. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. There's four things. Both doesn't go with that. But the speaker is Jesus Christ and the topic is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right. That's a both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, that's good, Doc. Good catch there. Yeah. That's good. Okay, so Joel. Turn to Joel. Let's pick it up at 2. So this is what he's quoting in Joel. So you can see this is what he's quoting in Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass, everybody there?
Amen.
2:28, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Pour it out. He's not just sprinkling, he's literally pouring it on people.
Well, it's like letting loose.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit was only allowed to come and do certain things at certain times.
Yep.
It would come upon a person and be pulled off.
That's right.
Come on and pour it out. Have you ever been dumped on? Like, remember when the big Gatorade dumps were happening? And that's what he saw, is being completely immersed in the power of the Holy Ghost. Completely soaked from your head to your toe. There's not a dry spot left on you.
But the point I'm trying to make is there's a time period when it's being poured out.
Yes.
And the evidence, so that happened at Pentecost, and I think like Curtis said, we're in that part again right now where it's being given.
Yeah.
It's going to be poured out again.
Well, remember when on that Gatorade dump, it's only poured out a little bit. It's poured out.
Yeah.
I mean, then you're wet from it for a long time, but it was only poured out once.
That's right.
Because it was, and in the end time, there's another guy coming at another game, you know, where he's going to pour it out again.
That's right.
And there will be signs and wonders and things like that.
It's without reservation.
That's a better word, way to put it, without reservation.
But this is... You have to spiritually be ready for it.
Yes.
And this is why I say the pre-tribbers, they're in danger.
Yeah.
Because they're not ready for it.
Right.
I'm not saying that God cannot reach down.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying as a group, as a mentality, they are not being prepared for the latter rain.
And I think what's so, not to interject, but I think that's so important is people got to work things out in their own mind before they take that step. But when they hear it, and they hear other Christians say, hey, you know, that preacher of rapture is not holding muster with me anymore.
That's right.
And what it does is it registers with people. They go,
that's right.
Maybe, and down the road, you don't know how all of a sudden their life's going to turn
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely.
Because it registers.
Yeah.
They mark it.
Yep.
In mind.
You know, and Kev, I'll say it. I think we hear... Understand this. There is going to be an apostasy. There is going to be a falling away.
Yeah.
It's not a taking
not
away.
It's a falling.
What's going to cause it? We're not talking about Buddhists.
Yeah.
Right? We're not talking about Muslims.
Right.
We're not talking about Catholics.
Yeah.
We're talking about brethren.
Yeah.
What is going to cause a great apostasy? You didn't get taken out.
They get offended. They get offended.
Yeah.
So there's a person, Habakkuk. That I really kind of want to commit to memory. I was talking about it last night. That when the field fails, when there is no grain, when everything, there is no figs on the tree, whatever, everything is desolate. And I want to memorize that scripture because that is what we are most tempted to pull away from.
Yeah,
that.
Yes.
That when you question that there is no food, I am starving, I am without, and so you can feel forsaken.
Yeah.
Those are the times we're in danger. And so by memorizing that scripture, because what is his conclusion? I will praise the Lord.
That's right.
Jesus said, I'm telling you this, that you won't be offended.
That's right.
He's prefacing, he's saying, look, I'm telling you this, Kevin, that down the road when things don't go your way,
that's right.
Won't be offended at me.
Yes.
You know, and you'll remember, okay.
That's right.
And there's nothing new under the sun.
And don't forget, during that time when the pre-trib rapture doesn't happen, there's going to be signs and wonders in the opposite direction. Where Jesus said it could fool even the very elect was possible, which means that some are going to get fooled because they were never really on board. You say you love the Word of God, you say you love Jesus, but you don't. You don't. You don't believe it.
The war is on.
Yes.
Does that relate to the verse about keeping oil in your lamp as you're waiting?
Yes. Absolutely. The oil is the Holy Spirit. You're the lamp.
Yeah. Can I read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Verses, so it's Habakkuk, I don't know. 3 starting at 16.
Yeah. None of us really know. <that analysis.
laughs> When I heard, so he's hearing about the approaching army and what is coming. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. That is so powerful.
You're there. Read 2:4.
2:4?
Yeah.
2:4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Faith in what? The elections? Right? What happens when everything starts failing and nothing starts going the way we wanted it to? Like he said, what do I have left? What do I have left?
Just doesn't want us to be offended.
That's right.
How many people that you know that have really been disillusionized by Trump?
Yeah.
Right? They really thought Trump
it's
was
not even so much him. It's the
whole thing.
Whole movement.
Yeah, the whole movement. The Patriots movement of Glenn Beck's time, long before Trump was ever on the scene. Or when Trump thought he's going to be the savior of America. And so even during that time where Trump was at one spot, and there was supposed to be a bunch of people praying, a lot of folks went to that thing, right? Not January 6th. I think it was before that. They all brought their shofars and stuff like that. I guess they're rich. They didn't have to drive themselves. Right? They were all blowing their horns and all that kind of stuff. And they were pretending to worship God, but their hearts weren't repenting.
Yeah, that's right.
To the word.
They wanted to worship the God that's going to give them their fleshly desires.
Yes. Right.
Right?
Yep.
That's not how this
to
works.
Meet their understanding.
It's right.
Than
it's right.
God's understanding.
Wendy, it's self-centered. Yeah. It's selfish. It's self-centered.
Absolutely.
And that's what the pre-trib rapture is. It's self-centered. Does it glorify God?
We watch that thing.
Saves
right
my
here.
Flesh.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we
that's
put
right.
it on the big screen. We watch it right here. And even as I was watching it, it was making my stomach sick.
Watching what? Which one?
I forget what it was. It's
the churches.
The churches.
Oh, yeah.
Thing that came out here to Washington.
Well, and I had known this I had actually known this for years following the conservatives, the Patriot movement, is they're not, they don't really think like we do. They're kingdom now people.
Yes,
they believe that we're going to win the world over.
They're still preaching and teaching the New Age.
Yes.
The Great Awakening.
Yeah, yes.
Still,
yes.
Does the Bible teach a great revival?
No. This is a great
fall. It does not. But yet, that's what you constantly hear from the conservatives or the Bible conservatives.
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be a great awakening. We're going to win the world over for Christ. And then he's going to come back. I don't think so.
Let's read it
again. That's right. I don't know what you're reading, but you're not reading. You're listening to doctrines of men.
Right. Well,
right?
Doctrines
that
of
tickle
devils
your ear.
That's one of the things about the Mennonites that I kind of agree with, where they say, hey, this world is dead.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it. Our kingdom's that kingdom.
I'm just not going to wear the hat.
Mennonites are different.
Yeah. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's. Right?
Ride bicycles.
Yeah.
I like the horse-drawn carriage.
But you could use a chainsaw.
Yeah.
All right. So let's finish this up here. Verse 20, Joel 2, 28. This is what he's quoting. 29. And upon my servants, upon my handmaids in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heaven and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and moon into blood before the great and terrible, notable in the Acts, day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass, here's the blessing, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. From Mount Zion, where's Mount Zion? It's not here. And in Jerusalem shall deliverance be, as the Lord had said, and in the remnant whom call upon the Lord. So I do actually believe that when he appears, just like the thief on the cross, there will be people. But it's not going to be some revival, but there will be a remnant of people, especially Jewish people, when he appears in the clouds and say, you know what? Dave was witnessing to me. I believe him. And some of them are going to be at Armageddon, wanting to kill the Lord and his people. And some of them are going to turn.
Right.
God will still have a heart for, he will still test a heart even on that last day.
Sure he will.
And he will pull a remnant out.
And so all of those seeds that you've planted in your family that doesn't look like they're going, if they're alive at the time, right?
That's right. Keep witnessing.
There's a good chance that they could say,
that's right.
Mom told me.
Yeah.
That.
Don't ever give up.
You were right.
Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop witnessing, because he's merciful.
Yeah, he is.
And it could be that our brothers who just don't want to hear it, it could shake them that day.
Because every eye is going to see. And that means every single pair of eyeballs on the earth is going to see him at that
day. Don't forget, Armageddon, compare the cross to Armageddon. They think they're going to kill him.
Right.
He's on the cross. They think they're going to kill him. And people are wailing on him, laughing at him, spitting at him. He has one on the right and one on the left. They're both laughing at him, questioning him, and then the one on the right finally comes to his senses.
Yeah.
This is Armageddon.
Yeah.
And he gets saved. And he's with Christ in paradise.
Yeah. Well, he says, well, we're receiving what we
reward.
We deserve to be on this cross.
Yep.
But this man broke no law. He's done no harm.
Yep.
And it says, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Yeah.
Today you will be with me in paradise.
Yep.
Not willing that any should perish.
No, nobody's going to be innocent on that day.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to say, well, I didn't know. You didn't send a missionary to Uganda.
Yeah.
Everybody will know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and some will bow,
and some will rebel.
More. Most are going to get burned.
Mm-hmm.
Most.
Because
you
of
want
the
say something?
Of their heart.
Yeah, so I don't know if this connects with Satan wounding the heel. Because in Habakkuk it says in chapter 2, verse 7, shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them.
Yeah, you could apply that to Christ.
That seems like the new flesh, and that seems like when Satan's going to, like, the bride, which is temporary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you could apply that to Christ. So if you could apply that to Christ, you could apply it to the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, they did it to him. They're going to do it to us. but he's the victory.
Yeah, and also shows the condition that the others are going to be in.
Yeah.
It shows
they're going to hate us.
Yeah.
They're going to hate us.
Well, they're going to be under the feet.
Yeah, yeah, right. When you stand on something, you have dominion over it, right? Okay.
I'm going to just aside that.
Not the seething thing.
In these last days. And then verse 28, and it shall come to pass. I think that we know this, that God is timeless and there's no time. But we are always trying to put...
Right.
Our thoughts, our time,
yeah,
into this. What is the last day? What,
yeah,
is this? When is that? When I was driving home, and also on the way out, we stopped at a college where my mom went to school, and there's these clock towers, right? And the clock is way up high. Like, you know, in the Old Testament, about when things, you're worshiping things that are on high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, this clock, it's up high.
Yeah.
Typically where we put our clocks is up high.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is such a stumbling block, especially about Revelation. What time is it? What day is it?
Yeah.
When does this happen?
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge, profound thing that we don't even know is a big idol in our lives. And it stumbles us. Because,
yeah,
we're always looking for the time. But if these are the last days and they started at Pentecost,
right,
my goodness.
Yeah.
You've got to throw time out to really...
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's what prophecy is, and the book of Revelation is, God has you reading prophecy. You know, I don't know what has happened, but the church does not want to touch prophecy.
Yeah.
And God says, hey, there's a blessing in prophecy.
Yeah.
So every generation that is reading prophecy, the book of Revelation, whether you're in France and they're cutting off people's heads, are going, are we in that time?
Yeah, right.
I better prepare my soul for the second coming of Christ. Every generation that the last days that has happened is reading prophecy saying, you read the apostles, not the apostles, but the early church fathers, Clement and Barnabas, and these guys, they thought, are we in the time?
I have tried so hard,
yeah,
to find their documents. Send them to me.
I got books.
Good, because you can't find them
two
on the
books.
Internet.
Okay. I got two books by the early church fathers. And I'm talking about the ones that sat under the apostles.
Yeah.
After that, I'm not listening.
Yeah.
But what these guys said, I mean, you could see they were saying it. And then you could see that, you know, through Rome, that the Christians were saying, are we living in that time? Is Caesar the Antichrist? Robespierre is cutting off people's head in French. And they wanted to do away with biblical things, a 10-day work week. The Civil War, they said, in World War I was called the War of the Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were people that thought, this is the end of the world,
mm-hmm,
right? So that every generation, now we're in that generation too, we're going,
Could this be it?
And you better, I don't know. But we're a lot closer, I know that.
Yeah. Oh, does anyone really know what time it is? Does anyone really care about time?
Okay.
If so, I can't imagine why we all have time.
Because you're leaving on a jet plane.
I think last days makes more sense when you think of the day as 1,000 years.
Yeah.
Because,
right,
those last 2,000 years,
yeah,
are the last days.
What does he say?
It's the first coming and the second coming.
What does he say? I can't remember. He says, after 2 days will I revive you.
Yeah. Yes.
I will raise you up. Where is it? It's in one of the minor prophets. But it says, after 2 days, I will raise you up. And when Moses was at the mountain and he put his hand in his bosom,
mm-hmm,
what did he say? And it came out and it was leprous. And then he put it in again and he explained to Moses what this meant. He said, if they will not believe the sign of the first sign, they will believe the second sign, the second coming, right?
It was when everything was made
pure. Yeah. Yeah, and I'm going off now. When the ark was brought over the Jordan, right? Jordan's death,
mm-hmm,
Canaan is the promised land.
Yeah.
The ark is Jesus Christ. He was brought over, and then the people followed 2,000 furlongs after, right? You see the typology here? Okay.
All you got to do is study.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go. And that's the problem with the church today. So few study the Bible, and when the Spirit of God unctions them to chase this,
yeah,
you know, dig this up, they say, well, in chasing it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Matthew Henry.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go to this other commentary.
Chuck Missler wrote a
book. I'm going to listen to Wadsworth or whoever, yeah. I'm going to go find somebody. Yeah.
The book of Revelation is too hard to understand. Yeah. Well, I need Clarence Larkin and his charts to explain it for me.
They're content to believe in dispensationalism,
yes.
Answering all those questions of the last
time. That's right.
Well, that's already answered. I don't need to study.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how many...
How many
yeah,
blessings when you read it that way?
It's right.
They're always confused. Why does it say...
Yeah.
And I was listening to something. It's seven times in Revelation that you will be blessed by reading
yeah,
this book.
But they don't want to read it.
Get it.
They don't want to read it.
Where's the blessing?
Yeah. You know, it's even Chase, or look at a church statement. I'll bet you first by. I know Lighthouse and I know Naples did it. It's in their church statement.
Yeah, yeah.
We believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. And this is what caused the division at the last church I was at. I said, are you telling me I need to believe that to come here? And he was like, well, I don't know. I don't need to believe in a pre-trib rapture to fellowship with other believers.
Yeah.
This is done on purpose.
Yeah.
How dare you
to
question us?
Division.
That's right.
God hates those who call
so division. Let's wrap this up because I want to get into something Gayla brought up. So look at verse chapter 2, Joel 2, 1.
Where are we now?
2:1. So we're still in 2. We're looking at the end times. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. So there's a trumpet that's going to be blown in Zion. Sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. It is nigh, it is at hand. A day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds, a day of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people, a strong people. There's the fourth kingdom that's coming. That had never been like, neither shall there be any more after it, even after many generations. So I'm going to skip through some of these because I want to get to something else. Look at 11. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. His army. This is what I want to look at next. The army of the Lord. For his camp is very great and he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and terrible. Who can abide? And there it is. I love 13. Rend your heart, not your garment. Return unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and he is merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So keep witnessing because of verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. The bridegroom, let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore they shall say among the people, where is thy God? Okay, so look at 21. Fear not, there's a lot here. Fear not, O land, be glad, rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid of the beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for a tree beareth her fruit. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down to you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and with oil. And verse 25 will restore the years that the cankerworm had. So here you go. You can see there's an early rain and there's a latter rain. And with that latter rain, what I'm saying here is the first fruits are going to get resurrected at the latter rain. There's going to be a pouring out again of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying, I'm going to go heal that person. But God's going to say, go heal that person. Right?
It may be.
It may be.
Yes.
There's going to be signs and wonders because There is something. We're talking about the last 3.5 years.
Right.
We don't see a 7-year period. Mm-hmm. The last 3.5 years, there is going to be wonders in the heaven. And some of those wonders are coming upon us to protect us, to get us through great tribulation, whether we live or die.
Is that Revelation 12?
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Kind of a picture of that, because the miracles and stuff didn't stop with the apostles.
That's right.
Stephen was allowed to do those miracles.
Yeah. Absolutely. And who was Cornelius that spoke in tongues?
Cornelius,
right?
And everyone.
He
that
wasn't
was
an apostle. That's right.
Yeah,
so,
in fact, he was a Gentile.
That's right.
You know,
absolutely.
Centurion. Yeah,
Centurion man.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't want to say I'm holding God to it. This is going to happen. Mm-hmm. He is going to pour his Spirit on his people. The ones who are not offended by the word of God, the ones who see how these things play out, how God's children have always been treated because they did it to Christ, they're the ones that are going to be prepared for what's coming. And I'm not saying there's few of us. I'm not saying we're the only ones, but there is few of us.
And with that, we may not be those ones at all.
Right.
This
could be the generation to follow.
Right. Everybody that's in this room right here may very well go to see the Lord by faith and not by sight.
That's right.
Again, that just brought to my mind Thomas.
Yeah.
Greater are those
yep.
who have not seen and yet.
That's right. Yeah.
Right. And so.
It's us.
Yes, us.
It's us.
I may never see
it. I said it last week. I've never seen him.
Mm-hmm.
He is more alive to me than this world is. He has done something in me I could never do. I could never do this on my own. He did this. Go ahead, bud.
So you brought up a really good important point in Joel chapter 2, verse 13. And it seems like this is the process that happens over and over with faith. The people, 2,000 years ago probably thought it was going to end.
Yeah.
So it says, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Does that mean that it has to be a circumcision of the heart, not the outer garment?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. And the sacrifice is a sacrifice not of blood and bulls and goats, but of praise,
right.
Of prayer and praise from your heart. That's the sacrifice God is looking for, a broken and a contrite
heart. These God will not turn away from us.
Okay, so I want to bring up something that was brought up to me by Gayla last week, the army. We saw the army in Ezekiel. We're going to look at this. So I want to show you some army. I don't know if I want to do this right now or let you see it. Do you think we fight the fight?
No, and we stand in the fight.
Okay.
Okay, right. We only stand in the fight. We don't fight.
So let's look at the 2 Kings 19. This is why I show you some examples here. Dave, you want to read? 19. No, let's do Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. It's the same thing, but I'd rather see it in Isaiah. Isaiah 37, 31 to 36.
Okay, 37, 31, 36. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the kingdom of Syria. He shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into the city, saith the Lord. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses.
Who killed them?
The angel of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord.
And yeah,
Pharaoh's chariots, too.
That's right.
Were destroyed by God.
That's right. So, and who is the Assyrian? The Assyrian is the Antichrist.
It's the Antichrist. The Assyrian is always
the Antichrist. So, yeah, is it the Assyrian? Yes. Right? This is what we mean about typology in the Bible. Is he clearly talking about a group of people and Assyrians and
yes,
physically?
Absolutely.
But there's some deeper here. The Bible calls the Antichrist the Assyrian.
Mm-hmm.
His people are the Assyrians. They're Mystery Babylon, the fourth kingdom. And who destroyed them?
God.
The angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
They didn't even fight the battle. Judges 7.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Now, if you would have read that in 2 Kings there, you find out that a couple of lepers went out and found the dead bodies and said, can we keep this to ourselves?
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Judges 7. There's a lot of verses here, but I just want to kind of skip through some. Here's Gideon, right?
Mm-hmm.
I might as well just read it. Start at 9. We'll start at
7,
9? Yeah. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, and I have delivered into thine hand. But if thou fear go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. And when he went down to Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley. The Midianites and the Amalekites lay along the valley, like grasshoppers for the multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand of the sea. And Gideon was come, behold, there was a man who told him unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley, bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came in unto the tent and smote it, and it fell, and it turned that, why am I having trouble reading? That the tent lay along. Verse 14. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon and the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for unto his hand hath God delivered the Midian and all his hosts. So look at 16. And he divided the 300 men unto the three companies, and he put a trumpet. There's a trumpet that's going to be blown in every man's hand, and an empty pitcher with lamps in the pitcher. There's lamps in the pitcher, and there's a trumpet. There's thunder and lightning about to take place, right? Verse 18, when I blow the trumpet, and I and all that are with me, then blow the trumpets in every side of all the camp, and the sword of the Lord of Gideon. So they're screaming, sword of the Lord. What's the sword of the Lord? It's his mouth, right? Revelation 19 says he is the sword of the Lord, is the word of God.
So you think this connects with Revelations?
Yes, we're getting there.
When they come up out of the earth and camp?
Yeah. No, that's 1,000 years later. This is Armageddon.
Because it says their numbers are like the sand of the sea.
Yeah, but Revelation 13 says they are the sand of the sea too, which is the coming of Antichrist. Okay, so where am I?
19.
Let's look at 21. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the hosts ran and cried and fled. They fled. And 300 men blew trumpets, and the Lord, every man, sword and his fellow, even throughout all the hosts, and the hosts fled to Bethshitta and Zereth and the border of unto Tabeth. So you can see that they slayed each other. They killed each other by them coming down, right,
mm-hmm.
with lightning and thunder, blowing trumpets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so 2 Kings. This is good. 2 Kings. Second Kings. Where am I? 6. Yeah, yeah, that's good. 6:13. Kevin, you want to read? 6:13 to 18.
Right. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send ye hither, he hither, horses and chariots and a great host." And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, a fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness, according to the word of Elisha.
They didn't fight. The host was around them, flop, right? Okay, so let's turn to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, I think I got one verse here. 33:2, "And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite." 6. "And unto land flowing of milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a stiff-necked people, and I will consume thee in the way." So you can see, there's only going to be survivors. People are going to be taken out here. But who is the angel that led them? Who was the one that...
Christ.
Right?
It was Christ.
Who, did they do any fighting when the sea parted? Mm. No. Who was the one fighting the battles for them, leading them? Jesus Christ is fighting these battles and these wars. Go ahead.
So, Tom, are you saying this is representative of his final plan?
Absolutely.
Because it repeats in the Bible over and over and over. Like, these things that have already happened are representative of what's going to happen.
The Bible says that the things that happened in the past were for similitudes, typology. So when we look back, I could say, well, that happened. It's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. When is it going to happen again? End of the world, right?
And about the two witnesses, it doesn't say that one of them is Elijah, but it could be.
Well, Malachi makes a clear one of him's Elijah.
Okay.
Elijah, right? Yeah. Elijah. It makes it clear.
That's why they have the open chair at Passover. All the Jews do.
That's right.
For Elijah.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, "John, if you can take it, was Elijah."
That's right.
Come before.
He said in the spirit of Elijah, which Elijah had the Holy Spirit, and John had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So Elijah, we are told Elijah, turn to Malachi. As a matter of fact, this is why this is reason number 537 that I believe it's Moses and Elijah.
Well, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives.
That's right. Yeah. And what is Elijah and Moses? The law and the prophet. Yeah. And what did Jesus say? I fulfilled the law and the prophets. Right? And Kevin made a good point.
And they do the miracles that those guys did.
It's right. And in that time of the signs and wonders, it was Elijah and Moses. Where did they get Enoch from? They say, well, Enoch didn't die. Yes, he did. Yeah. Hebrew says he died. It was just removed.
Well, wait, it was all in the translation.
Yeah, it was your correct translation. Okay, look at Malachi 4. If you just read 4, quick chapter. 4:1, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, it shall burn." No human being is going to survive in their flesh as a burning from the God. "It shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness. Oh boy. Shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under lance the soles of your feet. In the day that I shall do this thing, saith the Lord. Remember the law of who? Moses. There's Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Enoch. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming and great dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, and I will come and smite the earth with a curse.
And that's how it ends.
That's right. Wow. Yeah. So, I mean, think of this. They're gonna start offering again.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
In a temple.
In a temple. And Elijah and Moses are there, and they're telling them, this means nothing.
Yeah,
what you're doing means nothing. Temple. He's going to come. He's about to come. We're within 3.5 years. Yeah. He's coming. Then you're going to turn to him. So he's preparing the children. Mm-hmm. And Moses just happens to be mentioned in the same chapter that Elijah is. Go ahead, Lance.
And then it also hints in chapter 3, verse 16. Where it talks again about remembrance. It says, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought on his name. So there's nothing that's really going to be left but that
yeah.
remembrance. If God doesn't remember
nope.
you,
yeah.
then...
There's no gray area here.
Yeah.
There's no gray area.
Hit that often.
Yeah.
Remember it.
So yep.
There's a reason for it.
Okay. So turn to Revelation 19 and Ezekiel 37. So Revelation 19, Ezekiel 37. I think we'll get through this. Revelation.
Maybe it's last quarter.
If it's quarter off.
Yeah.
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 John, Revelation 19, 11 to 15.
And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
Okay, so you can see here, this is Armageddon, right? This is Revelation 14, where he treadeth the winepress, and it's up to the horse's bridle. The blood is being, hang on a second, the blood is being splattered, right? Who's fighting here? Who's the one doing the fighting here?
He treadeth the one
he is.
Alone.
But yet, it says, verse 13 says, the armies of
right.
the Lord. So who is that? That's us,
yes.
isn't it? Okay, Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, we did this last week about the resurrection of a remnant of Jewish people, right? The Ezekiel 37... Now, we already saw that we're the army that follows him. But like we said last week, there's also a remnant of Jewish people that have to be resurrected, not only on that day, but in that hour, in the twinkling of an eye, right? So here it is, verse 10. And I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So this isn't just 144,000 Jewish men. This is the whole country of Israel. The whole, look at 4:11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parents. But God, right? I want to continue here a little bit. I want to show you them and us together. Once again, Not that they're separate from us, that we're together. 15, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee a stick and write upon it for Judah and his companions. We did this last week, right? Mm-hmm. And 17, and another stick and write upon them. They became one stick in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, say, wilt thou show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph that is in the hand of Ephraim. Remember that. Just stick that in the back of your head down the road. The stick of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and I will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick. And they shall be one in mine hand. Judah. Who came from Judah?
Christ.
So whose kingdom is it? Jew and Gentile together, and they are going to be one stick. Not separate sticks, not Jews and Gentiles, not the 12 tribes, one stick, right? And the sticks wherein thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither thou they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and will bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation under Trump. In the land, upon the mountains of Israel, one king be king unto all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with idols, nor with detestable things, nor with any their transgressions. I will save them out of their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Tabernacles. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd, and they shall all walk in my judgments and observe my statutes. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein. And they and their children and their children's children, for you have Jacob, you have the father, you have the children, and you have the children's children, the fourth generation, shall be their, and David their prince shall be forever. Moreover, I'll make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle shall also be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify them when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So David is not our king. When you see this, Zerubbabel, David, you know, the Zerubbabel will build the temple. Yeshua will be the high priest forevermore. David will reign forevermore. They're in the lineage. They're all in the lineage of Christ. It is really pointing to Jesus Christ being these things. So that's what I said. You read Ezekiel. Ezekiel, you see both groups in there. You see God saving the Jews and the Gentile. God resurrecting them and resurrecting us. Go ahead, Lance.
The sword that Jesus has, that's representative of the word, right?
And him speaking.
And then, Jesus says that the sheep will know my name. They'll know my voice. And it also says in the Bible, too, that there's nothing left but the word.
That's right.
At the end.
That's right. He's speaking. The sword is him speaking.
So that does,
he's not coming down like I don't know, what are these warriors?
But that does
say
that there's nothing left but his,
that's
his
it.
Word to correct everything.
That's it. Good. I learned something, right? I mean, I just learned. This is great. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for this perfect word of God. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, in just this little corner of the world. Lord, we don't believe we are the only ones who have things figured out. We are far from having things figured out. But we know that the truth is in your word, Lord. We know that Jesus Christ is the word. And there is no lie in him. And we know there can only be one word. There can't be many words of Jesus Christ. There can only be one. and it's found in the King James Bible. There are many anti-Christ, Lord, and there are many anti-Bibles, but there is only one Jesus Christ and one Bible. And we thank you for opening these things up to us today, that we would just get a deeper and understanding of you, Lord, that it would, that these things are not just done for knowledge, but that it would enlarge our heart to see that you are God of gods and there is none beside you. That you would enlarge our heart, open it up, Lord, come and dwell within us, remove the stubble, remove the things that cause us to grieve you. Cause us to be a people that walk in integrity and not the things of this world. As we look forward to the second coming, Lord, but we could see that the first coming is just as important as the second coming, Lord. And I thank you for it. I pray for Curtis, Lord, that you would just keep feeding your flock through his mouth, move him aside, and just preach the word of God. Lord, we are in awe of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can I just tell you something that's coming?